James chapter 1 and verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, dear God, for the emphasis of this month. And as Lord, as we do, Lord, some self-examination and Lord, also some good instruction, good biblical instruction, dear God, to not only help us to make sure that we are in good standing with you, in good stead with you, Lord, and that we are living a righteous life, but Lord, to be able to then stay there, dear God, with your help. So give us the tools we need on our Wednesday night Bible studies as we cover some things that I think will help us to live a clean and holy life before you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Very good, church. You may be seated. The emphasis this month is let's be the difference by living a righteous life. And so we just got launched off last Sunday. And now tonight on Wednesday nights, I think I'm going to do a series of Bible studies on what I would call enemies of righteousness. Because folks, as hard as we're trying to do the right thing, we do have to understand that there are forces that are going to work against us doing the right thing. Hey, I think the devil probably heard what the emphasis for this month was too. Now, I'm sure the word's out. He may have already, deployed some extra demons and devils our way. Hey, there's a church in Indiana that's taken a whole month and decided that, you know what, they're going to get things squared away and they're going to get started off on the right foot and they want to live a godly life and a righteous life. And don't think we don't have an enemy that's going to do everything he can to frustrate those attempts in each of our own personal lives. And so I'm going to kind of put the spotlight on Wednesday night Bible studies on some things that we have to be aware of if we're going to live a righteous life. Tonight I want to talk about the subject of temptation. Obviously, one of the ways that frustrates us from being what we ought to be and doing all that we want to do is temptation. And everybody's going to face temptation. This is universal to the human race. Every Christian is going to have to face this. And there'll be times of intense temptation in your life. There'll be times where I think the devil backs off and lulls us to sleep as if, you know what, I think I finally won this thing and he's given up. And be careful, be careful. No, he may have just taken a step back and planning the next attack, but it's a never-ending thing in our life. And so I want to break down temptation so that you have an understanding of it. Talked to the kids this morning. I preached out of in chapel, Genesis chapter 3, and talked about the devil and his first mention in the Bible and the way that he approached Eve and the lies that he told and the tactics that he used. The Bible says we should not be ignorant of his devices. And folks, he hasn't had to change things up a whole lot because it just seems like the same old things keep working. Be careful, folks, that the devil doesn't get you to start questioning the words of God. First thing he said, hath God said, hath God said. And so he'll get you to start questioning the Bible. Well, I know what it says, but is that what it really means? Now, this is deep. Stay with me, okay? If it says it, it means it, okay? But it's amazing the different ways the devil try to muddy the water and change an obvious command of God to where people, they hem-haw around and circle the wagons and come at it from five different angles. And before they get done, it doesn't mean what it said. Yeah, it means what it says. It means what it says. And I won't reteach all of that, but just trying to help our young people understand that we have an enemy. And God wants you to have a wonderful month and a very productive month. And I think he wants to set our church up for an incredible year. But the devil does not want that to happen. And so he's going to send into all of our lives temptation. So what's one of the first enemies of righteousness is temptation. Now, this portion of scripture explains temptation. And I think it gives us such helpful. I'm going to tell you, when I studied this and when I learned this, in my own personal life, folks, you're not listening to a sinless preacher. But I'm going to tell you something. When you understand temptation, you understand the ingredients of temptation, and you get the point where you can immediately recognize the ingredients of temptation, then you know what? You're going to do a lot better job resisting and overcoming temptation in your life. The Bible says, first of all, let's start here. We won't spend a lot of time, but let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth any man. So if you're being tempted or lured towards doing wrong, don't ever say that God had anything to do with it, okay? And so let's just take that out of the equation. We're reminded in verse 17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So God gives good things into our lives, and the devil is the one that's trying to derail us, okay? Get us off track and get us to do wrong. He's the one that will come and tempt you with evil. Now, he may do it himself, or he may use another person. We're going to show you the two ingredients of temptation. Notice verse number 17, but every man is tempted, and then there's a comma. So the Bible's going to explain to you what happens in the moment of temptation. But every man is tempted. Every man, this is universal. You're not an exception. I'm not an exception. Same thing happens to all of us the same way. So every man is tempted when, number one, he is drawn away of his own lust. All right. So what does lust mean? A lust simply means has the meaning of the word desire. So if we have a wrong desire in our heart, a desire to do something wrong, it may be a secret desire, it may be something we don't say anything about, nobody would ever suspect. But down in the depths of our heart, we kind of have this thing where, you know what, I know it's the wrong thing to do, but if I ever am given the opportunity, I'd kind of like to. I'm kind of curious. I kind of wonder. Okay. The devil can't read your mind, but he can see where your eyes linger. I mean, he can follow you around. Listen, he's been doing this a long time. He's been diagnosing sinners for a long time. Okay, and he's smarter than me and he's smarter than you. He's not smarter than God. Okay, but he's smarter than me and he's smarter than you. So he's going to watch and he's going to send demons to watch and devils to watch and they're going to figure some things out. And so number one ingredient, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. And then comma, and entice. So there's two ingredients, okay? Our own lust or our own desires to do the wrong thing. Now, how do you alleviate a lot of the temptation in your life, okay? You alleviate a lot of the temptation in your life by getting your heart straightened out. Now, we're going to talk about an enticer. We'll probably do that next week because one of the enemies of righteousness is evil communication or the wrong kind of peer pressure in our life. But folks, it's so easy when we do wrong to want to just pull what Adam pulled in the garden. The woman thou gavest me. And then when he questioned Eve, the serpent. And it's so easy. Come on, parents. It's so easy when our kids do wrong to say, well, if they hadn't been hanging around so-and-so, I'm going to blow that up right now. All right, young people, I'm going to blow that up. Okay. You're not going to be able to use that again after tonight. Because there's two necessary ingredients for a temptation to happen. The first one is, first of all, we're going to deal with us tonight. The first one is our own lust, our own desire to do wrong. And if we harbor that, if we hide that, if we don't deal with that, then you know what? And it just sets in there. You know what? The devil's pretty smart. And sooner or later, he's going to figure out what that is. And then he's going to send the second ingredient, and he's going to send an enticer into our life. And we'll talk about what that person is and what he does. It may be the devil himself. May not. Listen, in the very first temptation in the Bible, it was the devil himself that showed up and dealt directly with Eve. And so he didn't always use someone else, but often, well, I can give you 10 or 12 Bible illustrations where the devil used another person to come in somebody's life as an enticer, okay? Now, let me just say this, enticer is not going to have any influence on you if you don't already have a problem in your own heart when it comes to wanting to do the wrong. Yes. Right. Now write that down. Yes. Okay, so that's why parents, you got to stop this stuff about, well, if they hadn't been hanging about and it was this person's idea, well, must have been your kid's secret heart's desire. Hey, preacher, give me an illustration. All right, you know, I've told you this story before. I was down here when Hoosier Pete used to be Hoosier Pete. Some of you new folks don't even know what I'm talking about. But now they're building a fancy new gas station. Looks like at the pace they're going, it should be open by 2029. But fancy new gas station down here at the corner. Well, it used to be an old gas station. You'd have an old sign out front. And it was called Hoosier Pete's when I was a teenage guy. And I changed the sign 15 times, but all the locals still called it Hoosier Pete's, you know. But I was down there getting fuel, pickup truck one day. And another guy pulled up on the other side. He's fueling his vehicle. I'm fueling mine. He gets out. He just said, you know, come on, a Green County redneck, good old boy. And he says, hello. And I said, hey, how you doing? He's rumbling around the back of his truck. He's got some fishing gear. Looks like he's going fishing. Next thing you know, he pops the top of a cooler, pulls out a beer, and says, hey, you want one? Oh, no. Pastor Jerry Ross is facing temptation. No, I thought it was hilarious. He didn't even know I was a preacher. You know, there was no temptation. You know why? Because I don't even have in the deepest recesses of my heart any hidden desire to pop the top on a beer and drink it. By the way, that's me. That may be a real temptation in some of your life. Some of you say, preacher, because of my past and because of other things, you know what? I struggle. I got to fortify myself more. Well, you know what? We'll talk about this on down the road, but I have besetting sins. You have besetting sins. You know, I have weights. You have weights. And the devil figures out. So, you preacher, you were tempted. No, I was not. A temptation did not occur. Now, I think most of you could say, hey, there's areas of my life that, you know what, the devil could send somebody with the greatest opportunity in the world to do wrong. But in that area of my life, I wouldn't be moved one second because that's been settled. I have no desire for that. I mean, nothing. So there has to be two ingredients here for a temptation to occur. This is why I don't want to just treat this first one as if it's not important, because it is the most important of the two. Now, you do have to be aware of enticers. You know how to have to deal with enticers. I mean, that guy right there, you know, I say, hey, no thanks. He said, I'm a Baptist preacher. And I said, but I'll tell you what, instead of me taking that, why don't you take this? And I gave him an invite to our church. And he kind of was a little embarrassed, but laughed. And he said, you never know, I might show up. And it was good. We're all good, okay? But I didn't go back to my office and sit and shake for 30 minutes, you know. I was so close. Okay, and again, I'm not trying to make light of that temptation in somebody else's life. I'm just trying to get you to understand that folks listening to me, you know what? I don't know what you and I are harboring, but this is why we're going to dig deep this month. This is why we're taking a month. This is good for us. Because the best way to fortify yourself against temptation is get to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, you know what? There's been some secret things I've been harboring and secret desires in my heart. And I need to get those things right. I need to get victory over them. Some of you could say, preacher, there's things that at one time was a huge temptation in my life, and they're not anymore. God's given me victory in that area of my life. So don't think that no matter how much a certain hidden sin or desire seems to have dominion over you, don't think you cannot get victory over that. God can give you victory over that. Okay? And so the first thing you have to be aware of is our own lust and desire. I'm sorry, but if I sin, it's not the enticer's fault. God's not putting that sin on his account. I'm the one that has to deal with that sin. Okay, now he did the wrong thing by enticing, and he committed a sin of enticement, and he has to deal with God before that. But if I give in to it, it don't go on him. Okay, so parents, listen to me. Stop making excuses for your kid. Stop letting them off the hook. I don't care if there's 50 people standing around them all telling them to do the same thing. You know what they got to learn to do? Stand up for Jesus. You got to say no and all of that. So we need to move on here. So today I want to talk about mostly this first ingredient, because temptation is real. It's something we're all going to have to deal with. And one of the things we want to do is keep our hearts pure. And we'll talk this Sunday morning, or I think this Sunday morning, maybe two Sundays from now, on this matter of secret faults and errors and presumptuous sins. Folks, listen to me. Don't think, well, preacher, I think I'm pretty good on this. We're going to dig deep. because none of us are as good as we think we are. That's why they're called secret faults. You can convince yourself something's not a problem when you know down deep it is a problem. Okay, so this is where we want to be really honest with the Lord. So both these ingredients must be present. Now, if we fail to eliminate our own desire and we listen to the voice of an enticer, lust will conceive and bring forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, results in something dying. Something's going to die. Results in death. So first thing I got to do is look in the mirror and deal with Jerry Ross. Now, there's some things that will help you in this area of your life. All right, let me give them to you quickly tonight. Number one, I'm dealing with myself. How about me? What do I do to eliminate or reduce the temptations in my life? How do I deal with this first ingredient? Number one, understand your dual nature. Understand your dual nature. So let me have you go to Romans chapter 7. I think Brother Lowen hit this a little bit over in Romans chapter 7. But let's go back there and look. Romans chapter number 7. Every single person in here that's born again has a dual nature. Okay? You have the reborn spirit. You have the fact that you're born again. You have what the Bible calls the new man. But you also have the old man. And that old man has to be crucified. We'll talk a little bit about that. And I wish I could tell you you could crucify him once and he stays dead. But you have to crucify him every day. That's why Paul said, I die daily. And some of us, I think, have been wise enough to realize he can come back to life in the middle of the day. And now you better keep those hammer and nails handy, okay? Because we all got to deal with the same junk, this old flesh and our old Adamic nature. Look in verse number 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Now in the modern terminology, and psychologists read this and say, we're dealing with bipolar individual here. Well, I guess we're all bipolar. We'd like to say dual natured. It doesn't sound quite as bad, but I guess we both have the old man and the new man. You have to be aware of it. If you're not aware of this, you're in denial of it. That's why one of the reasons you're probably having so much trouble. Okay, there's part of Jerry Ross that I still can't get rid of, and I won't get rid of until one of these days. You're laying this old flesh in the ground for me, and I'll be up there, and I'm finally free from all this nonsense. Verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, or my sin nature. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Well, that's a good thing to learn right there. Okay, don't coddle your flesh. Don't give in to your flesh. How many times your preacher stood up here with four cards, you know? Come on, church. I mean, that's really one of the keys to getting this thing right. Okay, you're never going to be sinless, but you can sin less. And, you know, part of it is just keeping the thing in order. You get that flesh, you get that thing running the show, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a mess on your hands. And dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, the want to. I want to do the right thing. I will to do the right thing. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. And there isn't. This entire series that we're going to teach is going to help you so that you're not going to feel like you're helpless in this area of your life. Because, boy, I've had people sit in my office and they just look at me. I mean, just so frustrated. Preacher, every day I'm wanting to do the right thing. And it seems like all I do is the wrong thing. The harder I try to do the right thing, the more I do the wrong thing. And I mean, I'm not talking about it. Somebody's trying to live a hypocritical life. They're in tears before me, frustrated. And aren't you glad for the Word of God? Because the Bible really can teach us. The Bible has this idea of learning to possess our vessels in sanctification and honor. We have to learn to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. And 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, perfecting holiness. You know what? That's something that you learn to perfect in your life. It learns to become more complete. The more you learn the Bible, the more you stay in the Bible, the less you're going to have trouble with the flesh, or when you do, the more you're going to know how to respond to that moment. And so hang in there, Christians. You know what? Oh, I'm struggling. Well, keep struggling. I'm battling. Well, don't quit battling. Okay? And now, verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And again, that's talking about your sin nature. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now, that verse 21, watch this. That's one of the reasons I'm teaching this. Hey, if we're going to take an entire month, I find that a law that when I would do good. Okay, preacher, this whole entire month's about making sure we get clean and right and dealing with things and digging up these secret things and getting into the best position possible. Come on, preacher. How can I make a difference in other people's life unless I let God make a difference in my life? Preacher, I want to get to the right place. Okay, so what we're saying is when I would do good. Okay, so right now, you know what we're doing? And guess what happens? Evil is present with me. That's why I said this about, hey, please pray for your pastor. You know, you don't think the devil would say, hey, I'm going to take the preacher that's decided he's going to spend a week preaching on holiness. I'm going to see if I can take him down, or a month, I'm going to see if I can take him down in that month. Listen, spiritual warfare is real, folks. It's real. And you know, the devil's smart enough to shoot at the soldier wearing the brass buttons. And I'm just telling you, you know, that I'm going to deal with a certain amount and intensity of satanic attacks that I don't think anybody else in our church deals with in the same way. And hey, but listen, it doesn't mean you don't deal with it. I mean, he'd get as much joy taking you out as he would taking me out. And so we all have to understand that we're making an attempt to be right with God and real about where we're at with God, that evil is going to become present. And then verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And it sounds hopeless at that point, but he gives the answer in the next verse. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, our flesh and our newborn spirit struggle against each other. We have a dual nature. Paul is not saying, listen to what I'm going to say here. Paul is not saying that it's okay to live a dual life. He's just telling us that we have a dual nature. And you know what? What he's saying is this. We're presented now with a choice, okay? We can have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's important to understand that sometimes you're not going to feel like doing right. Oh, I want to stop here. So many good things. There's so many places. But folks, I am so tired of listening to Christians and watching Christians operate on their feelings. You are never going to live a successful Christian life operating on your feelings. Okay, remember I said the flesh here? You know, we can get the flesh not leading, but you can have your heart leading. Heart's the seat of the emotions, how you feel at any given moment. And folks, the flesh very seldom feels like doing the right thing. All right? Some of you men get up very early. Alarm's going to go off pretty early tomorrow morning. You know what your flesh says when that alarm goes off? Praise God. Woohoo! You know what I feel like doing? No, the flesh is like, hit the snooze button. Turn it off. Quit your job. Go on welfare. You know? That's what your flesh will tell you, all kinds of things like that. Okay, so you have to understand you have a dual nature. And let's start with there. Number two, this is so important. Identify your weights and besetting sins. This is something that the Lord really help you. And again, I don't think any two people's lists are exactly alike. But in Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And sometime during this week, a month while we're pursuing this and you're spending time before the Lord and you're doing some self-examination, you're getting help from God, it'd be a good thing as the Holy Spirit points them out to you to say, okay, let me just be really honest. What is it that I struggle with that maybe somebody else doesn't? You know, what is a weight that I need to lay aside that somebody else may not carry, but they have their own weight? Everybody's got them. And what we have to do is to be honest and real about our own situation. Weights are not sins, but things that make running your race impossible or difficult. These need to be laid aside. Just because something, listen folks, just because something is not wrong does not make it right for you. Right. Just because something's not wrong does not make it right for you. And if it becomes a weight in your life and too big of a distraction in your life and it's consuming too much of your time and preventing you from living the kind of life you should be doing for the Lord, then you know what? That's a weight. May not be a sin, but it's a weight. Be willing to love Christ enough and want to finish the race enough to set it aside for Him. And so weights are not sins, and sins are not weights. Then it talks about our besetting sin. And you have to understand also that along with the weights, there are what we would call besetting sins. And these are the things that we struggle with, and again, in a way that somebody else doesn't struggle with them. And so you have to be willing to identify those things in your life. And I kind of already gave an illustration about that. I mean, I can tell you, I know enough about the background. If I had enough men in this church to be honest with me through the years, and I can think of some, and the ones I happen to be thinking about are in heaven, but I can remember guys in our church that were key. I mean, key members of our church and worked in ministry and had great testimonies, but I knew enough about their past and they were honest enough and open enough to say, hey, preacher, there's just certain things I just can't be around. There's certain things that may not bother anybody else that just is a real battle with me. And so we have to be willing to identify those besetting sins in our life and make sure that we don't give into those things. And so we're talking about dealing with ourselves, first of all. So understand your dual nature and then identify the weights and the besetting sins in your life. Now, folks, remember this. And I want to give you a little encouragement. The Bible does tell us that God will at times suffer you to be tempted. God at times allows Satan to tempt you. Now, he won't tempt you with evil, but he will suffer you to be tempted. Now, I'm encouraged by that. The devil must ask God for permission to test his children or tempt his children. Thank God for the hedge that is built around us. One of the things that, again, will help you in dealing with temptation in your life and fortify yourself against temptation is to follow the biblical admonition, the prayer admonition that was given by our Lord Jesus Christ when he taught us to pray, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Folks, I think the Lord's Prayer is a great prayer. I think it's a right thing and a good thing from time to time for you to meaningfully, I'm not talking about just memorize something and say it like the Catholics would repeat a memorized prayer, but I think the Lord's Prayer is a powerful prayer to pray at times in your life. If Jesus, when the disciples said, teach us to pray, and he said, well, when you pray, pray thus. Maybe there's some pretty important things in that prayer that ought to, now, I mean, I'm not saying you have to do it word for word, and you can reword some things, but if you did it word for word, it's not a bad prayer. And I think one of the things that we have to do is to go before the Lord. If we're going to be protected in this matter of temptation, we have to be willing to make this a daily prayer request in our life. Okay, lead me not into temptation. And then it goes on to say this, but deliver me from evil. And I think that is there together because God will at times suffer us to be tempted. So God, as much as possible, help me to avoid it. But if I can't avoid it, then Lord, I pray to God, you'd deliver me from it. Okay, does that make sense? And because God at times will allow you to face temptation, but he always, always in that moment will make a way for us to escape. And if we read that in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. And God will never allow more temptation than we are able to endure and will always provide a way to escape. I want to say that again. So the Lord will never allow more temptation than we are able to endure and will always make a way of escape. So again, at the end of the day, you cannot point a finger of accusation to God and say, I couldn't help it. You let it into my life. You allowed Satan to tempt me. And so it's your fault, God, that I, no, sorry. If any of us do wrong, we have to look in the mirror. Because God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So even though God allows Satan access to us at times, he always makes sure that there is a way for us to overcome the temptation. Listen, if we choose to do so. And so what are we saying again, all right? Let's deal with Jerry Ross. Let me deal with me, okay? I better understand I got a dual nature, and this is something I'm stuck with for the rest of my life. And I better make sure I get myself properly ordered every morning. I better make sure I learn to die to self. Okay, die daily, die daily, die daily. And Lord, I don't want the old man to rule in my life. And Lord, I want to crucify the old man. I want to die to the old man and live unto God. And then identify the weights and besetting sins. So I'm not dumb. Okay, so I understand there's areas I struggle with. And I go to God in prayer over those things. And I ask God for help in those things. I'm going to go to the Lord every morning and say, Lord, you know, protect me from the devil. If he's got a trick or a trap laid, Lord, help me to find a way around it. By the way, the Bible talks about the prudent man foreseeing the evil and passing by. And folks, come on now. Let's live our Christian lives with enough awareness around us to be able to see. You can see some temptations from afar. You foresee the evil. Okay, you can see some situations where the honest truth is, you got time to make a decision to avoid even having to confront that temptation. And so keep your antennas up, okay? Well, preacher, good night. Sounds like me. You want me to live in a constant state of fear? No, I want you to live in a constant state of awareness. How about these words? Of vigilance, of soberness, okay? So if I said at the end of this, at the end of the message. Now, folks, we're going to dismiss you out in the parking lot, but we did get a call from the Exotic Feline Rescue Center. And a lion, their most vicious lion, has escaped. And there's 17 reports on Jasonville Talks. One of the most reliable places in the world to go get factual updates on what is happening in Jasonville, Indiana. I think it should be called Jasonville Gossips, but anyway. But we've had verified, I mean, Brother Klein saw it on one of our cameras back there, and he just sent a note up saying, you might want to tell the children not to run around outside a whole lot, because we did see him right out here in the parking lot. And now, we're going to dismiss you. I'm sure you'll be all right. And so just kind of keep your eyes open. I'd love to stand out there and watch everybody trying to get to their car, you know. Some of you would sleep here tonight. I'm not going out there. I'm not even taking a chance. And the ones that were, I'm not sleeping in no pew. I'm making it home one way or another. I'd still, you know what? That's called walking circumspectly. I think you'd have your head on a swivel. I think you'd be looking ahead. I think you'd be watching. Hey, folks, listen to me. That's a good way to live your Christian life. And be very careful and foresee the evil and find ways around it. And you know, if you have a situation where you have a temptation, then don't go back into that same situation again. Folks, you know, here's a, come on, 19, 20, 21-year-old single young man visiting in inner city Chicago for all those years. You're not going to think I didn't face temptation? And there were certain houses that I went to visit kids. And if there was a mother in that house that was making advances, then that house got assigned to my lady workers to visit. And I never went back there. Do you hear what I said? Never went back there. Never went back there. I mean, you got to be smart enough to figure out that, hey, there's a possible trap there. And you know what? I just kind of, if you listen to the Holy Spirit, he can kind of tell you. The spiritual hairs will stand up on the back of your neck a little bit, man, if you're not a dumb ox. You maybe spent a little time reading your Bible that morning and praying and asking God to give you some spiritual sensitivity and keep you safe. You ought to be on high alert on some things, okay? There are certain sections of the store you shouldn't go to. Come on, young men, there's ought to be a discipline to you. There's just certain places you shouldn't go to. You know, moms, I appreciate for diligent moms. I mean this, you moms, you're a blessing in the house. You know, there's a lot of things come through the mail that don't need to be laying around. Right. For your sons or for your husband. Right. What I'm saying, let's just all work together, you know. Let's just understand the devil can find a lot of different ways to get stuff into our lives. And what we got to do is just kind of say, okay, I'm just going to stay on high alert. It's not like I'm going to freak out or overreact on every little thing, but I'm just going to watch because the devil, he's for real. He's playing for keeps. It doesn't say he walks about seeking whom he can nibble on or lick their ear. I think it says he's wanting to devour us. This is real stuff. This is real stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's be careful, folks. The sin of covetousness opens us up to many temptations. I'll end with this. 1 Timothy 6:9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. One of the greatest ways to eliminate much of the temptation in our life is to guard against the sin of covetousness. The Bible says, they that will be rich, they place upon themselves great spiritual risk. That's what it says. And that's why it says godliness with contentment is great gain. It just solves a lot of things in your life. And so if Satan sees a person who has a great appetite for material things of this world, he'll exploit that desire with increased temptation. That's why, come on, if you're not careful, you get caught up in these get-rich-quick schemes and dishonest dealings and unnecessary debt. Leaving the will of God to chase increased wages here or there. All of a sudden, covetousness makes us more susceptible to all these things where contentment guards against these things. I hope some of this stuff has helped tonight. Listen, we're going to take off through this month. We're going to plod along. Give you some good Wednesday night Bible studies to say, hey, here's some biblical principles that will help fortify you in the different areas of your life. Listen, don't let the devil beat you up over past mistakes. I mean this. It's so hard to go forward into 2026 if you're still letting the devil have you tied and anchored to something in 2025. And just, you know, if you need to get things right, get them right. You need to get them clean, get them clean. But then don't let the devil use them as a club to beat you over the head with the rest of the year. God has given you a brand new fresh year and a great new opportunity. And you know what? Let's try to spend this month really saying, Lord, I want to be prepared to make a difference. But Lord, first, I want you to make a difference in me. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your help to us and your love for us and your patience. Lord, I love the verse in the Psalms that reminds us that God, that you remember that we're but dust. And Lord, thank you for that. And Lord, we certainly don't want to hide behind the flesh and the weaknesses of the flesh and make excuses for ourselves, Lord, because we can have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, thank you, dear God, that you walk beside us each day. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Lord, even though we ought to be hyper aware and on alert, thank you that we have a Holy Spirit that can walk us through. He's our guide. He can walk us through each and every day. He can help us to be prudent in noticing the things we ought to and avoiding the things we ought to. And Lord, there's going to be times when, Lord, it's within your will for us to face temptation. How are we going to know how to overcome it if we never face it? You're going to allow some things. But Lord, thank you for always making a way for us to escape. So I pray that this would all work together to help us in our Christian life. We pray in Jesus' name.